almost didn't throw the white flag. I was going to give you one more lap.
The 9 running on the tires. He'll slide up off of turn number 4, Jerry. You've got a new race leader, Matthew Loeb. Your race leader with 4 laps to go.
All right. He told me to tell that joke.
Oh, welcome back. It's 3-6. You know what we're missing on for 3-6? You know what we're missing?
For what?
You know what we're missing? You know, 3-6, you know what we're missing?
Stupid hats?
Nope. We got them on.
We still have check. Hey, Jim, we still haven't found one big enough for him yet.
Yeah, it's a 9.
He doesn't need the insert.
It's a 9. 3-6-9, damn your phone. You know that song.
That hat very that little big fits his ego.
Jeez. Ooh. Wow.
That hat's probably so big he won't be able to fit in his water truck.
That hat's better than his haircut.
No, I don't need one of those today. Jesus Christ.
Hell deep. Well, know there's an oil spill.
My God.
You make it stand straight up.
That is gotta be the ugliest haircut I've ever seen.
We'll start calling you Play. He's a kid.
Kid and play,
but that was the tall afro deal.
Yeah, it was like an eraser top. It was like straight up in the air. I can't talk much. I haven't combed my hair today, so I'm not taking my hat off.
I haven't combed mine either.
But I still have.
I was just going to say, Ryan has still a have hair at least.
Jim hasn't washed his face in years either, so.
Just now you're really struggling.
Well, when it comes to you, everybody struggles.
Ooh, that was good. That was really good.
Hey, did you know?
Yes, I do know that Rolos are tasty. Thanks for bringing them.
Are they something new? I've never heard of those before.
I usually have a gold cellophane wrap around them, but these are Rolos unwrapped.
Did you know our last episode, we found this out after our last episode, was our 50th episode?
Nifty 50.
Isn't that crazy? Time flies. 3 years of this we've been talking.
I would have thought our producer would have at least give us that information.
This is the 51st episode, and we have a special guest.
We have a guest.
We have a guest. You have someone sitting
We have a
next
guest who's special. Do we have a special guest?
Hi.
Hi, Dilly.
Hi.
Dilly.
Hi. That'd be me.
That'd be Dilly.
Dylan Thornton.
Yes.
Yeah.
To introduce him instead of just assuming everybody knows.
Who owns a dinosaur?
He does like to talk dinosaur about the dinosaur.
A dinosaur?
Mm-hmm.
Like a Sinclair dinosaur?
Like the green dinosaur?
One of those things that you blow up, those costumes you put on.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. He's got a
like
dinosaur.
Like the big dinosaur outside of the gas stations.
What do you need one of those for?
It's going to come to Super Nationals.
Oh. Big dinosaur is?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Ride around on a trailer?
It's coming. Haven't you seen the dinosaur in my number?
No.
There's a video of that out there. Someone posted something.
I haven't. I don't pay that close attention, Dylan.
No, you don't.
I used to only try to watch the cars that are up front.
Ooh.
Wow. Wow. He's already
Jim's got zingers for everybody today.
Well, he's had nothing but time on his hands.
Well, yeah. Actually, he's probably running out of that. He probably should use it more wisely.
Yeah, wow. It's only been like a week since we had our last podcast, too.
I know. I was surprised when you said.
Yeah, when you hit us up yesterday.
Yeah, I know it.
I thought there was like some big thing.
And then I really thought we were waiting for 420 to do it. I was all excited about that.
Bet you were. That's Saturday.
It is Saturday.
Will you be announcing at Boone on Saturday?
No, I'll be there.
I got to take the day off.
I was going to say.
Nah, we'll be okay.
He'll take the day off, but he'll be in rare form that night.
That's not what I've heard from Kokopa.
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard some Arizona stories.
Wait a minute. Did we just shut Jerry up?
No, I was eating a Rolo. Okay. I don't know if you know this or not, but I muted.
You got cravings or what?
What's that?
You got cravings or what?
Like the munchies, I think.
This is our official 420 episode.
Just don't throw up.
That's when you talk to the dinosaurs.
Don't talk to my dinosaur.
Oh, well. So what are we going to talk about?
Dope.
Dope.
We're talking about dope. We can talk about tire dope. You want to talk
about
tire dope?
Sticking with the 420 theme.
Exactly, with the 423. And we have been doing some tire testing for those who want to know. Inquiring minds. We put out a couple of feelers for racetracks to test tires last weekend. So, figure we...
For the dope?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, so in honor of 420, we figured we'd precursor it last week with a couple of tire tests. So,
and leading up to, 420 Saturday, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but every track will be testing tires on Saturday for dope in honor of 420.
Yes, don't dope on Saturday.
Yeah.
Don't tire dope on Saturday. Be a bad day.
I better pick out which tires I'm going to use.
The race car police are going to be out in full force.
Yeah, just make sure they're not the edible ones.
Thankfully, I came here today.
I'll be there to confiscate whatever illegal substances you may have.
Dylan's going straight to the Hoosier truck to buy four new tires.
He'll have four stickers on his car.
Yep. Yeah. He got four new tires for a local show.
Yeah. What guy needs those?
Then you can have the people. That's the problem with local racing.
Yeah, new tires every week.
New tire. What else we need to talk about besides dope? Licenses. We can talk about licenses.
Well, yeah, you stirred the internet up on that deal, but you know what? It's always been there.
Clarification if it's always been there.
Yeah,
we've been talking about it for a few weeks now here behind the scenes in our office meetings about doing a release because there seems to be some confusion on what we allow, what we don't allow. So we figured we'd be a little bit more, we'd spell it out more, be a little bit more specific. What we announced is pretty much what we've been doing for years. So there's nothing new to it. You know, what divisions you can share licenses in, that kind of stuff has been, that's been in effect for quite a few years now. Probably the one thing that's thrown in, it would likely throw anybody off would be, you know, if you're going to switch divisions to a restricted membership is what we're calling it, to a division where you can't hold a license in another division, like Sport Mods and Modifieds is the best example. If you want to switch from a mod to a sport mod, if you're going to do that, you got to do it for 12 calendar months now. You know, we've seen patterns developing over the last half dozen years where, and we've had that condition in place for as long as we've had sport mod racing. Maybe not quite as long, but close. But we see patterns where racers are racing, let's just use the Yuma or Kokopa as an example. They go down there and they race a modified. They come back home 3 or 4 months later, and all of a sudden they've got a sport mod, and they're racing weekly sport mods somewhere. Or vice versa. They start out in a sport mod and come back, and next thing you know, they're in a modified. You know, we're starting to see that, and I think probably more so than anything this year that's got people's attention is some of the higher paying sport mod shows. You know, that's got people talking about it. So we thought, you know, we should put at the very least, try to address this so mod guys aren't trying to buy a sport mod license for 1 month or 2 months or 3 months and then switch back to mods and try to race Super Nationals as a modified. You know, we've seen some patterns like that in the past, so we figured we'd just try to address it. It has nothing to do with not having good racers in the division, so to speak. You know what I mean? There's good sport mod racers everywhere, but it has more so to do with racers who aren't even in that division, don't own those race cars, showing up to races that are paying more, and essentially taking those higher paying specials away from the guys who are what make the division or what it is, week in and week out all year, the rest of the year. So. And the same applies to hobby stocks and stock cars. We've seen it in those divisions as well, too, in particular.
And once again, I think we tried to clarify that the non-sanctioned deal, too. So if you race and one of the questions that we actually got a call on was, can Ricky Thornton race a sport mod at one of the sport mod specials? Well, he doesn't have an IMCA late model license, so he should be able to do it. No, we're not going to let that happen. And, you know, one of the things we got to be fair, just because you don't race IMCA doesn't, you know, we're not going to waive the rules for those who don't race IMCA. If we don't let you run a sport mod because you race modifieds, sanctioned or not, we're not going to let you run a sport mod.
Yeah, it still applies. And
still applies.
The nice thing about MRP or these days is MRP, and MRP can help us track non-sanctioned racing a little bit better. And it helps other people track non-sanctioned racing a little bit better. So the racers somewhat keep the other racers honest, to be quite honest.
And the rules just make sense. I mean, it just seems natural. If you race a modified, you shouldn't be able to race a sport mod. And I think most people are in support of that. Online, you're going to get the conspiracy theorists who think there's a reason that it's not allowed. But it's just common sense that dictated the explanation of the rule.
Yep. Yeah, and like Jim said, we had the question asked a few weeks ago if Ricky Thornton could race a sport mod. And, you know, they were serious. So, you know, it was like, no, he can't. You know, even though he's not a licensed mod racer at this time, he's racing super late models. So I just think that's a good example. You aren't Ricky Thornton's brother, are you?
No, his like, 17th ancestor aunt was, like, my mom's
so really distant
19th. Cousin's dad.
So there is. There so you're go. Saying you're connected.
Really, to
some,
really.
I mean, you have to. Relatives. Get the same last name. You got to be at some point.
Well, they both can drive race cars very well. You are both very good racers.
You got to be related at some point.
You do share the fact that you're both Super Nationals champions, too.
Mm-hmm. Him a little more than me.
But. I'm sure people think that, though. I'm sure people have thought.
Oh, yeah, that's got to come up all the time.
That question comes up every weekend.
Exactly. Every weekend.
You're Ricky Thornton Jr.'s brother?
Not related.
And love and child. I'm sure.
Love child. I don't think Ricky's that old.
Your dad, is he?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
Just can't tell nobody.
Sworn to secrecy.
And I'm sure a question that Ricky Thornton gets asked quite a bit, are you Dylan's brother?
I doubt that. Ricky's more popular than me.
Well, now maybe. In my book, you're still the popular Thornton.
There was a joke. We used to joke around and say we were cousins. So, like, that's where the Cuzzy Dilly thing came from originally a long, long time ago was that. So, like, there were plenty of people that genuinely thought we were cousins from those jokes.
People believe anything.
Yeah. You know, people have a tendency to believe in things that aren't true. Not that we would ever tell people that make up stories that aren't
leave
true.
Leave them on somewhere or another.
Right. April Fool's jokes or, you know.
Photoshop pictures or anything.
Extra racetracks or anything weird like that. Not that we'd ever do that. But people tend to.
Do I have to have County, another shot of that?
People tend to believe what they want. You know, Bitten even County if you tell too. Them it's not true, they're going to think it's true.
Yeah. I mean, people thought you were building another racetrack. That's.
Wait, we aren't building another racetrack?
Well, that's.
Haven't you been to Boone lately?
Have you seen the pictures?
No.
It was on Facebook. It's true.
You were over there. You were over there.
Gotta be true.
Frostbuster. Well,
I guess when I was at the Frostbuster, there were some bulldozers in the back.
See?
Mm-hmm.
I just thought they were, like, smoothing out the parking lot.
And we have those stealth tarps like the Army uses. You know, they pull it over the base. Hide it.
Well, I think that's what you're going to have to do here soon anyway.
Just get this ready.
Please. I might not even need the shot glass today.
There's a Rainier coming.
You shut your mouth.
So you're going to need to get some tarps coming. It's been like 3 years now with.
It's only been two. Luck. We had rain for
the. It's only been two.
Two decent years.
Yeah, but we've strung together about 17 without rain. So that's our pattern.
2020 was my first year ever going.
It was a little wet.
Yeah. It was a lot of wet. It was moist.
We were racing in the rain.
It was like. I remember racing a heat race at like 3 a.m. and it was so foggy you couldn't see the scoreboard.
It's all right. As long as you can see other cars on the track, that's all that matters.
Well, I mean, it was so foggy, Ryan, and I couldn't see you either. But.
We had this conversation in the that was in the 420 tower.
Thing again.
Hey, how would you have liked to flag that race, Brett?
No way, I'd have quit.
I'll just walk off.
Yeah, I mean, we had this discussion, that particular situation in the tower. I was like, can you guys see? And Lottie was up there. He's like, they can see each other. What's it matter if we can see them? I'm like, okay. We got through it. The fog lifted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wind came up and away it went.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know if it was fog that night or
I had never been to the event ever. I'd never even
that was
really
your
seen
first?
Video. Yeah. Never seen videos or anything. I remember pulling in the pits on Saturday, the prelude. And just blown, or no, it was Sunday because I missed the prelude. I pulled in on the pits on Sunday when you guys were having practice, back when you used to practice on Sundays. And I was blown away at how many cars there were. Like, I just didn't picture that the pits were going to get extended, like, way back towards that house.
Yeah, it's like a.
To Madrid?
It's like a city. Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh.
You had raced there before, though, right? You just hadn't raced
Supernationals. Yeah, like through 2020, I raced there a handful of times, but
yeah, weekly show gives a different feel than what Supernationals does.
You, but you turn right to pull in the pits about, you know, half a mile sooner.
Good point.
One of the things
that's a very good way to put it.
I saw on TikTok last year was somebody basically filmed how long it took them to get from the track to their pit back in the south field.
Yeah, it's out there. Well, especially when you shut down the four-wheelers, and if your camper's out there, you can start walking. It's It's a good little walk.
Gotta have some good shoes.
Yeah. I don't mind. It's cool, though.
It's something that, you know, people can hear about, but I think until they see it for themselves, it doesn't sink in, the size and everything about the event. You can hear all the stories, you know, there are about it, but I think till you pull into the pits the first time and see the amount of race cars and be a part of the whole racing program, there's nothing, words can't describe it.
I think the coolest thing is when you pull on the racetrack for a big dance and, like, the entire catwalks are just full. There's not a place to stand, like no empty seats. That's the coolest part to me. You know, with TV and stuff, everybody, there's so many people watching on TV, but to still have that many people actually there, I think that's the coolest part.
Well, it's like anything. I don't think the TV does it justice. It does. I mean, it helps get exposure to the event, and there are just some people that can't come. As you well know, obviously, you're from California, you know, your whole family or, you know, all your sponsors, right, all the people that are associated with your racing watching career, they can't come to Boone, mm-mm, you know, but they're going to watch if they surely can. So the streaming has been good in that aspect, given the event and Boone Speedway some exposure that we were relying on word of mouth and stuff like that. It's hard to describe until you see it in person. I mean, I still think it's better in person.
There's people that mark their spots on the catwalks at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh yeah.
On Saturday. On the Thursday before.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, in July.
Yeah, registration opens and then people start marking their catwalks.
We've already had camping requests and other requests.
Yeah. So. Yeah, done up until June.
It's crazy.
Me and Jimmy are going to build a shop, I think, on our pad.
Yeah, I know Jimmy told me he wanted to put a building there.
Yeah, we're going
to
put a shop on our
so he doesn't spot. Have to have a hauler. He can just take his car over there, drop it off, and leave it in the building.
Yeah. So it'll be like my dinosaur out front. And then it'll be roll up doors, and when it's time for our heat race, a door will open. We'll pull out and go to our heat.
Will you have like? Will it be on the remote?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Wow. Garage door. Speed door or like a regular door?
Nah, a regular door. He gets in his car early enough. He's fine. Like when they're racing B mods or sport mods. I mean, Jimmy's in his car, putting his seatbelts on two divisions later.
Well, he wants to be ready.
Doesn't he's ready. He's in
call
his
it
car.
Early. He's taking a nap in there. He's getting old.
Like, he's in heat 10, and, like, they just got done farming. They're calling heat 2 because heat 1's rolling the track in. Like, he's in his car going to staging.
He's like Dale Earnhardt. He's just real comfortable.
Yeah.
Earnhardt was, like, real super calm in his race car.
He's ready.
Jimmy's got to get in and get real super calm because when he gets out, he is not calm sometimes.
No.
We've seen the videos.
Yes.
Ooh, but it makes good TV.
It's like, how'd he get his driving suit off so fast?
Where'd that Bush Light come from?
I never knew the drinking Jimmy.
Yeah.
Never knew him. But I know the sober Jim.
Yeah, Jim.
Sober Jim. Oh, well. We got off track a little bit. We were going to talk about some of the stuff that went on last weekend a little bit. Jim was. Because Jim did some track visits. Went up to 141's opener.
You been up there, Dylan?
Oh, yeah.
That place is just neat.
That's a cool place.
It is. It's got catwalks. And
it's just cool. Like, the facility is cool. Like, the bar, the stands are cool. The pond in the middle is cool. Like, it's just a cool area.
Yep.
Yeah. Sit on the grass. They got a covered patio you can sit under with a tiki bar. They got, you know, seats that you can have waitresses, you know, get you your drinks. It's just, you know, the bar, you can see the track from the bar. You got the races, you know, going. It's just a neat deal. They opened up last week, and they have 177 cars. Started at 6 o'clock, and they were done at 9:30. And the track was 100% racy. Great features from the first heat to the last feature. I mean, it was a fantastic night up there.
That place Saturday always night. Gets good cars. We'll look. Oh. I look at my race pass on Saturdays all the time, and you pull up that place on any random Saturday, and they have 40 modifieds for a weekly show.
Yeah,
and they've got such good quality modifieds up there.
Many cars, it's bound to happen. You know, you got to be competitive and you got to be fast, and so you just look at the guys who are racing 141 week in and week out. They're going to be guys that are recognizable in IMCA and all those sanctioned divisions that are recognizable in IMCA outside the state of Wisconsin. You know, they go to Batesville, they go to the Super Nationals, they go to the Night of 1,000 Stars, they go to the Dakota Tour. I mean, you can just start popping off on all of our, you know, what we're known for, big races and places like that. And those Wisconsin guys just, they end up at the front there too. You know, they're just a
big
lot
money
of really
Benji.
Yeah.
That lacrosse guy, he's won some of those shows.
Benji has won about everything.
I think the story of the backstretch and the property line is cool.
It is. A lot of people don't know that.
Shape of the racetrack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. If you do the Google Earth or the aerial of 141, it's kind of shaped.
It's not an
like
oval.
Like a triangle, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
it's very pointy.
It reminds me of Brewerton. You've been to Brewerton before, Brett. It's got that same, almost like a D-shaped.
Yeah, exactly. But in 141, it has to be that way because the property line is so close to the racetrack that it pushes the turn, basically the entrance to turn three in. The backstretch is pointed towards, I guess it's more triangle shape.
When it was asphalt, it was perfect circle. So then when they went to start to, what they took the asphalt off and went from asphalt to dirt, they didn't realize where the property line was.
Yeah.
And they started building, and the neighbor's like, hey, what are you doing? Oh, we're making this track on my property.
Yeah.
And then it turned, that's how.
Why didn't they say anything when it was asphalt, I guess, would be my question, if it was already on there.
Because it wasn't that way.
They made it bigger when it
went to dirt. Oh, they widened it out off of two.
And the farmer owns the adjacent property. Won't.
And it runs kind of kittywampus.
Yeah, that's why the pit road, if you park outside of one and two, to get to the other side, you have to wait and you pull across the backstretch. Like there's not even enough room for an access road on the other side.
Yeah, it's literally right on the property line.
I think it's cool.
It's a neat facility.
The shape of the
Google.
Racetrack is really cool.
It's unique.
I think facilities like that and racetracks that are shaped like that, you know, one and two is not the same as three and four. I think it creates a different set of circumstances for the racers. So, you know, you're not going in a perfect circle. The corners aren't all exactly the same. So your race car is going to do different things in one and two than it might do in three and four.
Do you set your car up differently for that? How do you set a car up for that?
He would answer.
Not really. It's the same.
You don't set it up for one end and hope it works on the other end?
You just drive. You drive the car totally different on both ends.
Do you have moments where you're like, oh, man, my car feels really good in one and two, but it's complete shit in three and four?
Yeah. 9 times out of 10 is because you're just, like at that place, you're just driving too hard in three and four because it's so much smaller.
Gotcha.
You know, it's like driving on a half mile on one end and then going to a quarter mile on the other end. Not that extreme, but, you know.
But so a racetrack like that, I mean, we have some racetracks that are really wide and really big, and you, people say, well, I set it up to run the bottom, or I set it up to run the middle, or I set it up to run the top. A facility like 141 is not that big. It's unique in its shape. So do you set it up for one particular set of circumstances, like the bottom or the top, or you just set your car up and just in a neutral stance?
I mean, myself, I just go wherever I have to. I don't do that. I hear a lot of people say a lot of time, like, oh, I only run the bottom. My stuff's set up to run the bottom. I have to run the bottom. Like, well, I mean, especially gearing. Gearing is a big thing. You can change from one end of the racetrack to the other. Like Marshalltown, for instance, you can change 20, 30 points of gear to run the top or run the bottom, but then you're committed. So, I mean, I'm not really one to run the bottom. So I typically don't force myself into that spot.
So in a situation like Marshalltown, then, you pick a gear that's what, the middle of the racetrack?
Kinda, yeah. If you run the top, you're gonna hit the chip. If you run the bottom, you're probably gonna bog a little bit.
Gotcha.
At least that's what I do. I don't like to get myself in that particular spot.
Like pigeonholed.
Yeah. Like you're committed to one or the other.
Like Jimmy, we go to Boone. He can only usually run the bottom because that's what he puts his gear in, and I yell at him for it every single time. He doesn't listen.
He has had some success at Boone.
He doesn't listen.
Yeah.
He does know what he's doing there.
He does, but.
You know, what other tracks, you've raced at so many tracks, Dylan, throughout the years, you know, being from, you know, out west and moving to the Midwest. What other tracks that you've been at and give you that unique feel like a 141 that isn't your perfect oval and everything's, you know, the same from 1, 2, 3 to 4. What's some other tracks that have a little bit of character like that?
Well, they're all a little different, actually. Like even Boone, and most people wouldn't know this just watching, but Boone has two totally different corners as well.
It does.
The top of turn two, usually you can't run, but three and four, you can. The top is there the whole way around the corner, but like the top of turn two shelves off really bad, and the cushion never builds there, so you can't usually, like, correct. You can't run there. Like if you want to throw a slide job, 9 times out of 10, you got to do it in 3 and 4.
It flattens out in 2, and it's built. Mm-hmm. The track is built that way on purpose for those.
And Marshalltown used to be the same.
Exactly right.
Marshalltown was the same. There's a handful of tracks like that. Tipton is one of your guys' non-sanctioned tracks. I don't think you guys sanction that place anymore.
We do.
Yeah, they're sanctioned.
All the dark side stuff.
That place is like, yeah, extremely unique in my opinion. It's probably in my top three tracks. It is. The corners necessarily aren't the same, but the straightaways are two totally different straightaways. The front stretch, you drive off the front stretch and get back on going into one, and the back stretch, there's like no shelf off, but you have to stay on the track. And then it just changes your corner entry to each corner.
Yeah, Tipton's one of those facilities that we've sanctioned for as long as I can remember. The first race I ever went to on behalf of working for IMCA was
Tipton. Is a hidden gem.
It was a Deary Brothers race. It is. It's weird. That place don't work weekly. It's why it's not running weekly. But the specials, IMCA guys always go to that track. I've raced there. It's a fun racetrack to be on. It really is.
Yeah.
And it's little, you know, it doesn't have the walls around it. You ain't tearing your shit up by running into concrete or anything like that. You can get out of the way if somebody spins out in front of you. All those things that I think racers that matter, you know, to racers.
No, I love that place. That's a very unique track. And usually anything setup-wise that works at that place doesn't work anywhere else.
So what is your favorite track, if we ask that?
Favorite? I don't know. You're not going to like the answer because it's probably Cedar Lake.
I've never been there.
Track.
Yeah.
I love that place. Cedar Lake is cool.
It's a big racetrack.
Cedar Lake's cool. And I don't know. It's hard to say.
How many racetracks you race on, you think?
Ventura. How about Ventura?
No, but that's where my first modified one came from.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I went, now we know.
You celebrate by jumping in the ocean or?
No, I could have. I went there for their season opener, and it's a very small track. Like, it's probably smaller than this building. Yeah, and I got wadded up.
Fifth mile, I think they call it.
Yeah. I wrecked. My whole car it was the second race of the year. The whole thing was just, the entire body was killed. And I'm like, well, this sucks. I'm like, I'm never going back to this place. And it was like 2 weeks later, I'm like, well, I'll start on the front row if I go back this week. So I went back, started on the front row one. I'm like, okay, now I'm never going back. So I never went back.
Oh, but that place is probably one of the neatest tracks we have in the country. Yeah. When the pits,
it's so
basically
unique.
Ends on the beach.
It puts on really good sprint car races.
Yeah.
That's what it does. That place is really cool.
Midgets.
Midget races.
Yep, too, yeah. Midgets.
We've sanctioned mods there for 30-plus years.
That's what my dad originally started racing at Ventura.
Long really?
Time. Yeah.
Now, how far did
Kim
you
Naylor's been there ever
grow
since?
Up from there?
An hour and a half from there.
Okay.
Straight up the 101 or down the 101.
So where exactly are you from, for those who don't know?
Santa Maria,
which
California.
Which is opening up again.
Yeah, I saw that. Putting a couple races on the schedule.
Yeah, there.
Yeah.
Ventura's been sanctioned since 92, so 32, 33 years now.
Did you know that Neverland Ranch is over by Santa Maria?
Neverland Ranch?
Yeah.
You don't know Neverland Ranch?
You probably don't even know what Neverland Ranch
is. You know who Michael
is.
Jackson was?
Well, yeah, but I don't know what that
is. How old
was.
Are you
he
anyway? Pl-
he 22. Played for the Yankees, didn't he?
Dylan is 22. He played for the Yankees.
Yeah,
one of my trips up the 101, I only know this because I'll be going up the 101 from L.A. I flew into L.A., my wife and I, and we were driving to Watsonville. So we were just, drive up the coast, you know, and it was like, I don't know, it was not long. I told this story not long after Michael Jackson had died. And I'm like, where's Neverland Ranch? It's out here somewhere. And it's literally, if you're going to Santa Maria, it's right out there. You wouldn't know unless you started looking for it. You wouldn't even know it's there. It's kind of crazy, but anyhow.
You got me stumped on what my favorite track is. I'm really thinking about that.
You know, speaking of California, we got a race coming up, a sport mod race up in Placerville. You ever raced at Placerville, Dylan?
No, I didn't. I haven't been to a lot of tracks in California because they're all so far away. Like, Placerville is probably 7 hours from where I was from.
See, people don't realize that. You know what I mean? You're from California, so how far can you be from Watsonville, Placerville?
I probably only been to five tracks in California. It'd be Santa Maria, Bakersfield. There's two tracks in Bakersfield, so we'll put two. Watsonville, Ventura, Merced, and Antioch. So there's seven tracks I think I've been to in California. And the furthest one would be Merced or Antioch, and they're 4 hours away.
Yeah.
The closest track is 2 hours. Well, besides Ventura, an hour and a half, but I never went there. So Bakersfield would be 2 hours away from me.
It's a monster state.
Yeah.
Yeah, I made the mistake of driving from L.A.
And you have to drive with a trail. Don't have to, but you get tickets. I know this from experience. If you don't go 55 miles an hour while you have a trailer in California, you're going to get pulled over.
Really?
Yeah, the towing speed limit's 55.
That is just... So when that you makes say, everything twice as
It's terrible.
Twice as far because you, you know, half
you don't even
speed.
Drive 55 on a 2-lane road. It feels like when you're going 60, it feels like you're going slow.
Yeah.
Now imagine that on the 101 getting passed by people doing 80. It's terrible.
It's kind of like racing at times.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
So you moved to Iowa when? When did you move here?
Actually thinking about this on my way here. It sounds weird. Like, the stats are weird. This is my last week was my third full – completed my third full year living here. So I'm in my fourth year of living here, and this is my fifth summer racing here. Because I came here for a summer in 2020, then went home in the fall, and then moved back in April.
Did you come here because of COVID?
No. Actually, in I went to the Duel in the Desert in 2019, and I was like, on the way to the on the way there, I was
there too in 2019.
It's about the last time I've been there. Probably one of your last times, yeah. On the way there, I thought to myself, I'm like, man, it'd be all these guys were from California, were going to race in Iowa. I'm like, man, that'd be cool to do, like, just once in your life.
Sure.
You know, I'm young, I might as well. And I asked my stepdad, who I worked for, it is his business, if I could take a summer off, and he said yes. And so I saved a bunch of money, and actually COVID helped because it shut down all the racing in California. So I was able to save a bunch of money.
Yep.
You know, and I tore up a lot of stuff, so I needed all that money when I was out there. I hit everything.
We've all seen you race.
I hit everything but the tech pad that summer.
Were you tearing up stuff after the feature was over, or were you tearing up stuff during the feature?
Nope. Usually it was during the B.
During the B.
That summer.
You don't race those anymore, though. You don't race the Bs anymore.
I try not to. But, yeah, I came out here for a summer in 2020, and then I realized how much I liked it, and I went home and kind of –
You and Colin Hibben kind of hung out quite a bit.
Yeah,
didn't you, back in,
yeah,
back
we still do. He lives a little far away now.
He's
but
about your age, isn't he? He's
a year younger than me, I think.
I'll look it up.
Youngsters. Do you have a nickname?
Not really, but
you want one? We got two guys that can give you one.
They always say, I mean, everybody says Dilly now.
Dilly.
But
Dilly Dilly.
That's about it.
That's about it.
It's not Ricky Thornton Jr.'s little brother.
No. When I won at Maquoketa a couple weeks ago, Ricky won on the same night. And they put Dylan Thornton Jr. on the check.
At least they didn't put Ricky Thornton Jr. on the check.
I didn't notice till we got to the trailer, and I don't know if they did it on purpose or as a joke.
Oh, that's perfect.
That's awesome.
Where was that at, Maquoketa?
Yeah.
Those guys know what they're doing. That was intentional.
Yeah, that was intentional. Yeah.
It's funny.
Watch this. We're going to mess. What was the name of that race again?
The Nippy 50.
The Nippy 50.
I'm confused where that name comes from.
Was it Nippy?
It was pretty Nippy. And there were strippers. Strippers for Victory.
No, they were trophy girls.
Okay,
really?
All right.
Wow.
Whatever.
That may have.
What are the odds that a race called the Nippy 50 has strippers?
Well, you know, as we.
Was that planned?
I don't think Darkseid would ever intend that.
No, it was not intentional.
The strippers have
feelings
too.
Like that topless
too.
Race they had that one time.
Completely accidental.
Oh, well. So how many years have you been racing? Sorry, I was going to ask.
Years I've been racing?
Yeah. What'd you start racing in? Did you race go karts or anything?
I started racing go karts when I was like, I don't even remember, 7, 8,
so
maybe.
Young, you raced go karts a lot then.
Yeah, I didn't stop. I did not stop racing go karts until I was 14.
Sure.
And then I started racing four bangers. And then
we call those sport compacts.
Yeah, you know, mine was a Ford Pinto.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That used to be a modifier.
I had an S-Linger in it, you know, it cost $27,000.
No, it
late
didn't.
70s, early 80s, that was it an didn't. IMCA modifier.
Have you raced a Vega before?
No, but it did have a Ford Ranger motor in it.
Sweet.
I ain't no big truck. I ain't no stranger. I know what kind of truck I am.
You've been an IMCA member since 2017, so this will be your seventh season that you've
Yeah, I think that would have
competed.
Been a sport mod.
Do you have any idea what your numbers are? As far as
I
success.
Don't.
3018.
I truly usually. Don't.
Do you realize how good you are?
Oh, no, no.
Based on the numbers that I ran today, you've competed in 261 sanctioned events. You've been in the top 10 140 of those times, which is about 55%. You're not in the bad. Top five every three races. 83 times you've been in the top five in 260 races. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
That's real good.
What do you expect when you're doping your tires all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those numbers will get you in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly. <Yes. laughs> No, we're like giving you shit.
Yeah. Where are you racing Saturday anyway?
We might take the Kai family late model to Independence. So,
yeah, you're going to run late models this year, right?
Yeah.
So you're racing stock cars.
Stock cars.
Modifieds.
Modifieds.
And late models.
Late models.
How about a sprint car?
I'd love to. I've driven a sprint car, but I've never raced one. I want to race a midget. That's what I want to race.
Why don't we get a midget and put you in the chili bowl?
That'd be so much fun.
We'll pitch you right beside
Let's call
Ricky
Kevin
Thornton
Ramey.
Jr.
I think Ramey's got some midgets laying around.
I want to race a midget so bad. They look like so much fun.
I don't disagree.
They look like fun. And they're my size.
You've always wanted to race a sprint car, haven't you, Brett? Wasn't that one year?
Yeah, I've always thought. I mean,
you've always wanted to destroy a sprint car?
I've always wanted to get in and just hot lap it, but I'm afraid to do that with anybody around because I think I'll look like I'm scared.
I talked to Roger last week. He's got practice coming up. Cars. He's got a car ready for you.
Yeah, I bet he does.
Practice, the icebreaker's coming up. You're good to get
out. Yeah.
You have options. You have opportunities.
Just what I need. Just what I need.
I know Virginia's been pushing. Yeah, Virginia's been pushing for you to do it.
She's told me many times she's always wanted to be married to a sprint car guy.
See, we just need to make sure that she's
in. What's the holdout then?
I don't know. I'm chicken.
Just send her to Waco and just say, hey, you need to go to Waco. What for?
Dylan, you ever met my wife?
Then you can, we can all go to put you in a sprint car.
My wife was at, I don't know, she was at cheerleading function. I was a couple of weeks.
Boulder Tap House.
Me and a couple of weeks ago, she was with all of her cheer moms working on their big cheer summit plans and all this stuff that cheerleading moms do. And she's like, I'm at wherever they should tap Boulder House or whatever.
Yeah, Boulder Tap House. I just walked up behind her. I said, hey. And Dylan was in there. I said, I'm surprised the fire alarms aren't going off in here. She's like, fire alarms? I said, yeah. Figure a smoke show like you, these fire alarms would be buzzing.
She's probably like,
Dylan, were you doing some cougar hunting that night?
Yep.
Cougar hunting.
She can act like she doesn't like it all she wants.
I told him he ain't got a chance. You can try all he wants. He ain't got a chance. Oh, well. You have a girlfriend, don't you?
Yep. Long time. Still in training.
Long time.
You're only 22 years old. How can you have a girlfriend for a long time?
I don't know. It's like 3-something years. I mean, that's long for me.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's long for any girlfriend. She's going to start giving you the ultimatum. You're going to have to, move back to California or something like that.
No, we
need. Where's she from? Is she from Iowa or California?
Yep, she's from Keystone.
The big city.
The big city
of Keystone.
I've been there. Mm-hmm.
They got a Dollar General now.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah, we call it the mall.
The mall. Gotta run down to the mall.
Yeah, whenever you want some, hey, let's go to the mall.
Head to the mall.
Dollar Generals have a lot of stuff.
They do.
And usually a lot of time it's unorganized and just sitting in the middle of the aisles.
just pick it out of the boxes.
It's a scavenger. Yeah,
take a box cutter and I need one of these.
No employees seen. You got to go to the self-checkout.
Yep.
And it's funny because I didn't notice this until I went in there. The lady that talks to you at the self-checkout, like it tells you to bag your items and stuff, it has a southern, like Iowa, Midwestern accent. Pay attention next time you go in there. It's the lady that talks. It's a country accent.
You well, think it'd be? No, it's not. But in the South, there's like $72 million.
I just
they breed like rabbits down there.
I just think it's funny. You think
they
it'd
use
be
the
a
same dialect?
You would think it'd be a computer voice, but it's not. It makes you feel at home.
They have a bowling alley. Hey, is Turner Hall still open over there?
I think so. I've heard the term. I've never been though.
I was there for Sean's 40th birthday party. Like. He's going to be close to 50.
Yeah, that would have been
now.
About 10 years ago.
He's going to be close to 50 by now, too.
Speaking of breeding, you got another dog, Jerry.
Yeah.
What a segue.
Yeah, what a segue.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's got another dog because 3 isn't enough.
4 of those little.
I just did what I was told.
You drove to Nashville to pick that up, too, didn't you?
Yeah, that's kind of, sort of.
Dylan, you're a dog or a cat guy?
Dog. We got 2 of them.
Yeah.
2 dogs. What kind of dogs?
Bentley. They're Maltese and Shih Tzus, little fluffy guys.
Little ones.
So yep. Just big, little guys.
Not big, giant ones. Like Jimmy had giant dogs.
He's got big dogs.
He's got Cali.
Bentley wears a bow tie.
He's like a horse.
Bentley wears a bow tie.
Nice.
He does.
So there's a couple other questions. You know, you got the big dog, small dog deal out of the way. How about pulled pork or brisket?
Probably pulled pork.
Do you like barbecue?
Does he like barbecue? I think he's contractually obligated to say yes.
That's why I had to ask it.
A little bit.
That's his main. That's your main sponsor, right?
Yep.
Salty's?
Yep. It's my uncle.
Yes.
His uncle.
Who was on Triple D?
Was on Triple D.
Yes.
Was it really?
Yeah. I was actually watching. It was a couple months ago, and it was on, and all of a sudden they were
a diner, a drive-in, or
so. Tell us,
Salty's was on there.
So where's that? Where's Salty's located?
There's 2 locations. They're both in Bakersfield.
Gotcha.
California.
Was on Triple D.
Was on Triple D.
So it's got to be good.
It's pretty good.
And it's on the side of your car, so it's got to be good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's hard to eat barbecue anywhere else. I'm being honest. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, Producer Nate's been there.
Nate's like, the Salty's is really good.
We had some at Winter Nationals. Good. What was it, last 2 years ago?
He was there.
Salty came.
He was at Winter Nationals.
When it rained, and Uncle Salty took pounds and pounds of brisket and stuff to the infield for everybody.
Do you think you could get some of his barbecue secrets for me?
Yeah, no doubt. No,
because you called tri-tip roast beef.
It is.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Yeah, he's called it roast beef for years.
Oh, my God.
Maybe it was where I ate it at.
No.
Yeah, Arby's? You don't know what you're talking about.
Something like
that. And you got to cook tri-tip medium rare.
That's a West Coast thing.
Yeah.
You that put it in the smoker at 275 you don't cook it on a for smoker. About an hour.
You don't cook it on a smoker.
Those
yeah, you got to put it in the smoker for an hour.
No, you can't cook it on a smoker.
Then you take it off and put it on a grill and sear it.
No.
See, this is you go to California and everybody eats tri-tip.
Right? I love
that. The West Coast, Southwest. Right.
You go to Texas and you say, I want a tri-tip. They're like, what?
You're going to get brisket.
Right. Yeah. It's so different.
Yeah.
But to me, I like brisket better than tri-tip. That's just my opinion.
Brisket's good. I don't like brisket. Tri-tip
cooked right is the best.
Over an open flame.
Do you have a food blog, Jim? You really should.
When he travels, he actually goes to the Triple D website and sees where the Triple D restaurants are at.
I don't know if I told you, Brett, I'm going to Bakersfield Saturday night.
Are you really?
You just planned it. Sounds like he's going to Salty's.
I am now.
You'll want to know this, Jim. They're opening a Black's up in Waco tomorrow.
Yeah, but you got to go down to Lockhart, I think, for the original Blacks.
But I'm just telling you, that's too far for me to drive, because once I drive to Waco, I'm done driving from Vin.
It's only 3 hours from Waco.
It's like driving the whole state of California. Actually, I bet you could drive from Vinton to Waco is probably not the whole state of California.
No, I guarantee it.
No.
It takes 15 and a half hours.
Well, the state of California is like almost the entire United States.
It's crazy.
It is.
So a couple other questions. Chocolate or vanilla, Dylan?
Chocolate. Ice cream? Chocolate.
Which competitor is most likely to dope their tires that you race against?
Uh-oh, this is going to incriminate somebody.
Prepare to edit, Nate.
No.
Jimmy Gustin.
It's funny he says that. I got a Jimmy Gustin story, I'll tell you, because Jimmy won't listen to this.
I mean, he doesn't dope his tires, but he's known to like not touch his car until he unloads. So a good WD-40 grind, I mean,
nice. It's
bound to happen every now and again.
That's the secret. WD-40, diesel fuel. No, I went to Jimmy's shop one time. I don't know, this has been years and years ago, probably 10 or 12 years ago, and walked in his shop, and we were sitting there talking, and because I didn't know he lived where he lived. He lives right off the road in Marshalltown. You drive right past it.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't know it, but I saw, that's where Jimmy lives. So I just pulled in there and stopped unexpectedly. Right, and walked into a shop, and we're sitting there talking. And I look over, and there's a can of Hot Lap on the counter. I'm like, "Really, Jimmy?" He's like, "Oh, I don't use that.
I have some in our shop."
I think so. Now every time I go into anybody's trailer, anybody's shop, I have this real like uneasy feeling. I'm going to see something that they don't want me to see.
I have some in our shop.
A can of Hot Lap. I had Hot Lap when I raced. True story. I used it.
We didn't help me any, but.
Sprayed on there. Look out.
Adam, tire dope doesn't help what people think it does.
So back to the beginning of the podcast when we started talking about 420 and tire dope.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to come full circle now?
This is not going to be Hot Lap weekend. Please do not put Hot Lap on your tires this weekend.
Well, we do encourage you to Hot Lap.
Yeah, I think only amateurs use Hot Lap, though. I don't think. That's not the good shit
from what I've heard.
Contrary you got to get the Bobby Pierce shit.
Yeah, contrary to what some people think, if you fail that tire test, there's something wrong with your tires. I'm pretty confident of that. We've done enough tire tests here at IMCA that if you fail a tire test, you're toast.
I would be, any tire test.
Well, all the sanctioning bodies are all using the same place these days, generally speaking.
You know, some modified driver spent some time with some late model guys like a year ago or so. Those might be the ones you have to look at for that kind of stuff. I don't know if anybody knows anybody off the top of their head.
See, I think what a lot of people don't realize about tire dope is tire dope isn't like just to soften tires. Like late model guys use it to make them last longer.
Sure.
So, like, for instance, Bobby, sure I mean, they whether they did it or not, they probably...
To save money.
Whatever they put was probably on the infield. No, trust me, the tires still only last a race. But if they can make a 3 versus a 4 last the whole feature, they'll have an advantage.
Ah.
So if you could, you know, prolong the life of a 3
just by don't putting do it
stuff on the infield.
Don't do
the
it, inside. Kids.
Yeah, kids G60, don't try this at home.
You wouldn't need to do it to a G60. It's hard enough already. Good so, point. Like, people look at late models like, oh, they're softening their tires. Well, no, they're not. I mean, you get a late model tire soft enough, they're going
to. They really don't need to. They're soft enough. Right. It's like softening a Race Saver tire. I mean, when you look at some of the sprint car tires, when you compare it to a G60, it's like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, you can grab the rubber of a late model tire and move it around.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're soft.
Bigger tread blocks, all that kind of stuff. It's definitely a different world when it comes to tires, for sure.
Don't dump your tires.
Yeah. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
You had a big stock car race last weekend, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How'd that come out?
How'd it go, Jerry? Good. How'd it go?
Well, you didn't finish it. What happened to your car?
I wouldn't have wanted to finish.
Why? Couldn't get up there.
Oh. I think if you get your hair any slicker, it's going to take rubber.
So Jerry needs to wear like a hairnet when he preps the track.
Yeah.
And the sport mod feature right before that stock car feature, I told people it was going to be hard to top all year long.
Yeah.
It was probably one of the best races so far this year.
Well, that's how things work. It's kind of like when motors blow up. They always say they run the best right before they blow up.
Mm-hmm.
Your racetrack goes. Good race right before it wasn't.
Right before it blew up.
Right before it wasn't.
Right before they all went to the bottom. Yeah. They didn't go anywhere else.
Nobody went off the bottom in the stock car. They're chasing the money and protecting the spot.
Here's the deal on that. And I, you know, I mean, I'm not going to lie. You saw it.
We talked for it.
I mean, I was not happy, but I had so many people saying, you didn't drive the race car. You did the best you could. It was a 35-mile-an-hour wind all day Thursday, 25-mile-an-hour wind all day Wednesday. Or on Friday, and you tried what you could, but you also didn't drive the cards to the bottom. When you put the fast guys up front, the fast guys are going to find the line they want right away.
And in defense of that,
usually everybody's going to follow.
Every car in that field was a fast guy. There were no slouches. I mean, there were fast guys that didn't even qualify.
I still think some of this issue is not racetrack issue. I think some of this issue is a byproduct of the race car itself.
Right.
Because you can go to Boone, you can go to any, like Ryan had mentioned, the race right before it's great, the next race is a stinker.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's the racetrack's fault. And you posted something on Facebook about being sorry for the whatever. To me, I don't view it that way because I don't think I think it's impossible for a racetrack with the amount of cars some of these events have and the amount of racing that's going on to have a racetrack that's the same for the first feature as it is for the last feature and put on the same caliber of race. There's too many variables at play, including the race cars, including the racers, in my opinion. And if you just watch a stock car race versus a hobby stock race, versus a sport mod race versus a modified race, all on the same racetrack. Yeah, the track conditions are changing a little bit, but sometimes the last race is better than the first race. Sometimes the first race is better than the last race.
Yeah.
And I do think that's a product of the cars themselves.
It's like Eric Stanton said. He goes, I was a plus 17. I passed 17 cars.
Well, I told you, if you look at the end of that stock car feature, I mean, it was around the bottom for the most part. But at the end, guys got tired of following each other. Once more guys moved off the bottom, there was some racing there the last 3 or 4 laps. Yeah. Had they done that sooner, it might have turned out different. You never know. Yeah. But it is, so, as they say,
that's what that post was about. When you said you're sorry, it was about the track conditions?
Just about me in general.
I'm sorry.
Being sorry about you in general.
Not just sorry about me.
Sorry.
He was also apologizing.
That's why I just responded, I agree.
He's apologizing for his haircut, too.
I haven't had a haircut for like 6 weeks, 3 episodes, and I finally get a haircut. And then
try washing it.
And it looks like shit.
Jesus.
Poor Jerry.
No, you go back to Boone for the Frostbusters, and you know, I was there for that, and conditions were terribly windy, cold.
We haven't had any rain.
Just kind of just shitty. It's just shitty conditions. Like yours were in Marshalltown. There, you asked me, am I coming? No, I'm not coming over to that. One, it was too cold, but I had cheerleading, and my wife was in Texas, so I couldn't anyway, but... But it's just the conditions are challenging to say the very least when it's that windy, you know. And it was chilly, and who wants to sit in that stuff? And I'd never want to be a promoter. I've said this a million times. Promoters, you go back a couple years ago in 2020, and if people don't remember these times. They really should. Every racer should remember the year of COVID, because it demonstrates how important racetrack promoters are and how important racetracks are. Because the government makes a decision and they all have to start shutting down. What the hell are you going to do with your race car at that point? You're not going to do anything with it. So the industry needs racetracks and the industry needs promoters. You know, here we are a few years later, and you shouldn't have to, in my opinion, I don't think any promoter should have to apologize for track conditions. There are way too many things that are at play, from the previous, you know, the weather, the time of the year, the wind, the sun, the moisture. You know, there's just way too many things. Putting dirt on the racetrack. We've had racetracks that are trying to make improvements, and they make a mistake. You know, they're not perfect. Nobody's perfect.
No. And I've never seen a racer that
we need racetracks to survive, and we need promoters who are taking the risks of putting on events and paying purses. Without the promoter, I'm telling you, racers are going to have a hard time. You have to race out in the fields.
Also, I said to Jerry, you know, and we talked about it on the last podcast, if you have your business open for 20 nights a year and you start out with a questionable night, like opening night is at Marshalltown tomorrow night, it doesn't look good because the weather looks terrible. If you race tomorrow night...
Yeah, depending on when this airs... Right,
you could lose your ass.
I'll tell you...
And what promoter wants to dig out of a hole
it's tough.
Opening night and try to make up?
We talked about it in the last podcast. I mean, you and I, you know... Every business has 52 weeks a year to make you know, to get where they need to be. We don't.
Just yesterday, I heard two stories about promoters putting on high dollar sprint car shows. Just yesterday, you know, it's not inexpensive to put on the upper level sprint car racing in this industry. World of Outlaws and High Limits. Those are two of the biggest one night purses.
Oh my god!
That any
75 grand purse.
Plus. 75 plus.
That's just for not the rest of the stuff.
1,000. So I like to compare those situations to the casino. Go into the casino with $75,000 and put it down on a table and hope to win $100. How many people in their right mind would do that?
Black 10.
Nobody would do that. Even I wouldn't do that. Nobody would do that. Nobody does that.
Either YOLO first throw.
If you walked into a casino and those were the terms, the people would be like, you guys are crazy. But you have promoters that are doing this every weekend across the United States. The promoters need to make money. And even on those high limit ones or World of Outlaws or any of those really, really upper level purse events, you know, those are scary for racetrack promoters. They can put promoters out of business.
Those high risk, low reward ones are the toughest.
You know, in our world, you know, we don't generally speaking have that high of a one day purse for sure at most any of our events. Some multi-day events get up in there into that, but you know, it's a little bit different world. But back to your situation in Marshalltown, I didn't really think you needed to necessarily apologize publicly for that, Jerry.
I know, but you know, I mean, I put the pressure on myself. I was disappointed in myself.
We all put pressure on ourselves.
I made the comment Saturday night, and I think Dylan and I talked about it. You know, the racer puts so much pressure on themselves to do well. And that's how they're passionate about it. When things don't go right, they get upset. Well, I mean, same as in, you know, a promoter. I mean, you're like, I need this. I want this. I want, you know, this is what I want to have happen. And when it doesn't happen, you get disappointed.
Sure.
And I was pretty dejected because I'm like, that's not the stock car racing we produce at Marshalltown.
Trust me, we've all been in those moments on this side of the industry. We've all been in those moments, you know, just like Dylan as a racer. You know, I've left many racetracks and many events and many situations like, whew, you know, you leave and you're driving to your hotel or driving home or whatever, and it's like, oh my god, what am I doing? You know, we all have those moments. I'm sure you have those moments as a promoter, and we know racers have them.
And
you know?
Plenty of silent drives home.
Exactly. You know, everybody in the industry goes through that. I think the people who are building race cars, people who are making parts for race cars, every aspect of this industry has those moments. But at the end of the day, you know, I mean, I don't think anybody should necessarily have to apologize. People know when they make mistakes. Your goal is not to have a shit racetrack, and Dylan's goal is not to finish last every time he goes, you know, so... You know, so I
clearly last Friday we both did not meet our goal.
Dylan and I rode home in the same boat.
Correct.
But I think what bothers you about that is you guys don't have nights like that very often. You're always running at the front. You're always putting on a good show. So when you do fail your own expectations, I think you take that
it more hits personal. You harder.
It does. It really does. So, which is, you know, maybe that's a good thing.
Just shows, you know, just shows the passion.
Shows that you care. Yep, shows that you give a damn about the product you're putting out there and about the show you're putting on.
Well, passion in racing is huge.
Yeah.
Show me a good loser, I'll show you a loser.
Hey, you might want to go look in the mirror real quick.
Oh, Jesus.
You said a
Christ.
Good. You said a good loser. Wait,
oh, okay.
Yeah. I ain't good at it. Speaking of track conditions, Dylan, what is your favorite type of track to race on? Do you want a little character? Or do you want a heavy cushion? Do you want it smooth top to bottom?
I used to be, well, coming from California, I used to like holes, but now if there's a racetrack with holes, I'm terrible. I like cushions. I like when there's a big cushion. That's my favorite. When there's a big cushion and you get to show everybody that who's going to gas on it the hardest, that's my favorite.
What type of track, in your opinion, takes the, you know, expensive setups out of the equation, more or less?
I mean, of course, the easiest answer is when it's smooth and muddy across the whole racetrack and there's grip everywhere. That would take a lot of the setup experience out when the racetrack is more hammered down and smooth, not really a bunch of holes and stuff.
The car is easier to drive. Takes a little bit when the racetrack slick off. It takes the skill lever.
When there's a lot of grip, it's a lot harder to spin out. You know, harder to make mistakes. When the racetrack gets slick, or when the racetrack gets to be three different lanes, that's when you get setups and good drivers and awareness.
Have you raced a late model much then?
Well, I raced a late model in 20.
This year you haven't raced 18. It yet?
Yeah, I've ran it twice in Maquoketa, yeah.
Didn't you race one around here? Didn't you race one in Eastern Iowa or Central Iowa?
No. Nope.
You didn't do that?
Nope. Just in Maquoketa, the Nibby 50.
So if you had to make the decision right now to race one car for the rest of your life, of the three that you're racing, which one would it be? Mods, stock cars, or late models?
I'd go with the midget, just go off script.
No, that he raced.
Well, it depends. Do we stick at the level we're at?
I mean, to me, racing is racing. You know, which car would you rather race for which one's the most fun? We'll put it that way.
The easiest answer is just going to be my IMCA modified. But if you include a late model as a full-time late model gig, like touring, you know what I mean, for a driving team, I mean, that's the obvious answer because that's everybody's end goal.
Is a late model easier to drive than a modified?
No.
See, I had a guy tell me that.
Well, see, they're easier to drive when you're by yourself. They're way more forgiving. They're a little harder, you know, they're a bigger tire. They turn. They have a little more traction. I mean, they're just way more forgiving than a modified. But when you put yours, for example, with Maquoketa, you know, I wasn't going to go out there and start in the front of the field. So I started around 20th both nights. And you can't see anything. You're getting pelted with sand, dirt. There's, you know, a hornet's nest of cars around you. I mean, yeah. I mean, well, in late models, wheel spin is like the key. So they make the whole racetrack dirty with crumbs. Well, when you run a 20th, you have to go through the crumbs. It's a lot easier when you're not having to go through the crumbs. So, yeah, they're not easier at all. And you're going so much faster that your reaction times, because I raced the late model and the mod on that same weekend, both nights. And it was a 2-second difference in lap times.
So, like in the modified, you had turn signal on when you got the
wheel. Yes, it was crazy. It's a 2-second difference.
Take the turn signal. I
got in my mod.
I turned on. In traffic.
None.
I got in my mod and was like, "Wow, this is like
no turn signals in late model racing."
No, it was. I mean, I'm not gonna say it was easy, but it was just so slow in my mod. Yeah. And then you know the late model is it's crazy. The speed difference and the you know just the racing awareness is way harder.
And you know, one of the things that to go into that a little bit, because one of the things we talked about was licenses earlier and guys racing multiple divisions. You know, I would think that after racing a sprint car or a late model, which are probably the two fastest, and midget's pretty fast too, two fastest race cars, purpose-built race cars that anybody can race across the United States. After you race a sprint car for a while and after you race a late model and get accustomed to that, I would assume you don't really want to race a sport mod.
No, you definitely don't want to race sport mod.
Yeah, so I mean, no. So it's back to our license right. Stuff when we start talking about these conditions we put in place.
These guys shouldn't even be wanting to go down and race a sport
mod. So it's not the appeal of the experience, it's the chase of money. We agree.
They shouldn't even be wanting to race sport mod.
We agree.
Whether there's money on the line or not, I don't know, you shouldn't be wanting to go race a sport mod.
Correct. When we see what guys that are, generally speaking, not sport mod guys want to race sport mods, to us, it can, you know, the alarm kind of goes off in our head, like, wait a second, what's going on here? Why is this happening? Sometimes guys just... Hell, I mean, we hear it all the time. They have all kinds of problems. They get divorced. They lose their job. they change jobs, they relocate. There's all kinds of reasons why people switch divisions. Some of them are very valid. But generally speaking, you know, I think when guys are coming out of late models and coming out of sprint cars or they're in those divisions for a while, you generally don't see them drop what we would consider to be down into what is more of a lower division.
I mean, if you're racing a modified, you shouldn't even consider going back anyway.
To a sport mod.
Unless you're making a full-time switch. If you're making a full-time switch and you're committing, you're done racing modifieds, I mean, but if you're racing modifieds.
Some guys do that.
And want to bounce on them by
full-time switch because they have to, but that's our point is there's a lot of guys that want to make a part-time switch.
Well, that was like, you know, you take.
That's what we're trying to address.
There's always people like, oh, Shannon Anderson shouldn't have been. He can't run a hobby stock all his life. Like Shannon said, he goes, I race what I can afford. Eric Stanton's a prime example. He went to run stock cars and almost got to the point where he couldn't even afford, you know, he couldn't afford to do it. And he knew that the hobby stock is where he could afford to race, to stay in racing, to keep racing. So that's why, you know, everybody always says, oh, he dominates. That's great that he dominates it.
And it's the same people that's what bothers me about this whole thing. They should race what they can afford. You get the same people that say, well, you know, if Ricky Thornton Jr. wants to race a sport mod, he should be able to because you should want to race the best. Well, no, that's completely just.
Well, that's not why you race sport mods. You don't race sport mods if you want to race the best.
Right, but the best in that.
It's meant to be an entry-level division. And, there is a time where we even say as a sanction, like, okay, is this guy going to switch classes? You know, but speaking of hobby stocks, I mean, what the hell is going on with hobby stocks?
They're everywhere.
So many. I think there was like a mama and baby hobby stock rabbit, and they got after it.
What happened? Yeah, it's like literally the first few events that we've had this year is like
50 plus at Marshalltown and Boone, I think.
Right? Yeah, where are these? It's like the old days of hobby stocks when, you know, Marshalltown and Boone and Iowa State Fairgrounds would get, you know, four features of them.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. Maybe they'll go back to that in Boone.
McCool Junction. Friday, Saturday.
You know what my favorite kind of hobby stock racer is? And my favorite kind of racer is there's a guy, and I don't remember his name. He goes to Marshalltown every Friday night. He drives a blue
Andy Peck. Andy Peck.
He goes by himself with his open trailer and nobody with him. And, I mean, his old pickup. And he is literally there to race. That's like the coolest kind of racer to me.
We've got some hobby stock racer stories, Brett.
They're not there to
Andy on the Frostbusters, he ran fourth in a heat race. And he rolls down the tech pad, and I was like, then Kirk goes, you know, Kirk looks at the car, and he's like, I'm like, what's he gonna find? And he just said, hey, you know, this is just kind of, but Andy's never been there, so he didn't know. But, I mean, the smile on his face that he finished in the top four.
That's right.
He was, I mean, you'd thought he just won a $10,000 feature.
Every racer should experience what it's like to win a heat race. Every racer should experience what it's like to win even a B main or even especially a feature. I mean, because to me it really, I mean, I raced for two seasons and I was horrible. And it's like we all know guys like that. And I don't mean this badly because I was one of them. They're just trying to figure it out. They're learning and getting through that learning curve of getting used to circle track racing if you've never done it before or if you're new to it, you didn't race go-karts your whole life or whatever it is, getting in a car and getting used to that and then going out on racetracks and racing against guys like Dylan who's got 200 and some starts. It's a tough row for a lot of these guys to hoe and to see guys that stick with it and stick with it and stick with it and then see them have a little success. To me, that's why they race, and it's what makes racing so cool.
Well, there's so much more to racing these days that people don't realize. Like, it's not just driving the car. It's understanding the racetrack, understanding, like, what's around you, how the racetrack's changing. Like, there's so much. When you go to these big races, like, they're so hard to win because there's so much happening that you don't realize watching it that's happening.
It's one of the reasons why we try to keep the cars is it's very challenging. This might sound weird, but it's why we try to keep the technology of the cars as simple as we possibly can so people can kind of halfway understand them. That's very hard to do. Again, you got guys like Dylan you're building your own shocks and shit, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's not the average racer. In our opinion, you're not the average racer if you're doing those kinds of things. But I'm sure you do it because
doing it for a living.
Right, well, but you're doing it to earn a living, but you're also doing it so
for myself. Yes,
yeah, so you can get better.
You know where someone won't be winning a feature this weekend? I think we forced the promoter at Marshalltown Speedway's hand during the conversation.
Jerry?
2 minutes after that little discussion.
You canceled the races during the podcast?
It came up on Facebook. Marshalltown Speedway.
Canceled on Wednesday.
Canceled. Until
Thursday. Are you kidding me?
Races for April 19th were canceled due to the wet ground.
I was loaded up, ready to go.
Yeah.
Getting ready to leave, even. Go get my spot.
Was your truck
saved.
And trailer sitting right up?
Yeah, my truck and trailer's
getting
out there.
Getting ready to go get your spot saved.
I was going
to
go save my spot.
Yeah, you might need a.
It was raining.
You bring a tent with you? Because you can camp out all week. You might need
a dozer to help get you in the pits. It is wet over there.
It was raining when we started the podcast today.
It rained all the way from.
I hydroplaned on the way here in our little Toyota.
Well, that's because it's got no good tires.
How'd you haul your race car and hauler with a little Toyota, little shop car?
That's nice.
Did you see that?
His number one announcer.
Yeah, man.
That's my sport compact. I have four cars.
Right. It was like the old days of racing. Would you call it? It wasn't a compact.
Banger.
Tuner?
Four banger. Well, see, they were called mini stocks.
Mini stocks.
What's so mini about them?
Because they're a small car.
Small car. It's a Ford Pinto. But they weren't all Ford Pintos. Like, there was like some pretty hefty four bangers that I raced against.
Still a full size car though. It's nothing mini.
It's a full size compact. It's a compact car.
California race or divisions are nothing like Iowa because the only IMCA sanctioned divisions are the stock cars now and then mods and sport mods. So like the California hobby stocks are nothing.
Camaros.
Yeah, Camaros.
Hobby bombers.
They're like Camaros or like Cutlasses.
Yep.
Coal cars.
Yeah. West Coast street stocks.
Yeah, if you just when
a oh, West Coast street no, stock. No. Yeah, that is the most morphidite.
West Coast
the most stocks. Morphidite.
I mean, the biggest waste of time I've ever seen. It is. It's just the biggest waste of time.
CK presents West Coast.
Who says like you know what everybody? Let's all get late models and just cut the front half of it off and put a Camaro stub on.
Why not?
We're gonna have a street stock. Like
it goes to show you what can happen in Reno in a suite with a bunch of Jaeger.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
and then you know there they go for
West
10 years.
Superstocks.
Yeah.
Like a year, I think it happened.
I don't know if I even.
Yeah, the transition
was based out of Santa Maria as well.
Yeah, after you stopped sanctioning, another guy took over, and it was basically like the same thing.
I wished him well.
Yes,
I mean just
congratulations to you.
Good luck. I should have sent him a Christmas card is what I should have did.
It's funny because even when I was younger, like 12, 13, I still thought they were dumb.
Yeah, I mean, when you go back many years, we were modifieds in California, the whole West Coast, just IMCA modifieds. But now you got sport mods and stock cars. There's, you know, slowly.
Hobby stocks are
well, the biggest problem in California is the California version of hobby stocks, every track had their own rules.
Yep.
So like the Santa Maria hobby stocks could not go to Bakersfield and compete. And the Bakersfield Hobby Stocks could not come to Santa Maria and be legal.
That's what non-sanctioned racing will get you. A lot of people don't understand that. They see the IMCA cars going all over the place, and they think that you can do that with any division. It's really not that case.
No, it was a huge cutoff because, like I said, I mean, the Santa Maria cars would not travel because they couldn't compete, and the Bakersfield cars would not travel because they weren't legal.
Yep.
The Hobby Stocks in California right now race on
G60s. Alternative Hobby Stock rules is the key there.
Yeah.
They race on G60s right now. The hobby stocks.
They're phasing out of that, though.
Are they?
Yeah.
Get IMCA sanction on them?
Mercedes,
huh?
Yep.
Yeah, the hobby stocks are, almost a stock car.
I've said this before. I say this a lot here internally. Time is on IMCA's side. You know, we've got such a large group of members. We've got such a large, all of our divisions are very, very healthy. Mod Light Racing, we talked about that a little bit. The Race Saver Sprint Car stuff, how well those divisions have taken off. But then you look at the stuff we're known for, modifieds and stock cars, and then you get into hobby stocks and sport mods. It's just time stock is on our IMCA side. We're going to be here for a while. We don't plan on going anywhere. And the way I look at it is if we go somewhere, then there's going to be a lot of stuff that goes before us.
Stock cars are huge.
They are. Stock car racing is good. Stock car racing is really good. I've raced
that ride high rule.
Oh, come on. It made the cars faster. It's like an offset rear end in a hobby stock.
Correct.
You actually get the cars that are fast with the right rear ends in them, and they go faster.
Cody Williams.
Who was right?
Here we go.
Do you think we need to put quick changes in stock cars?
If you do, I still won't run one.
You still won't run?
No. The problem is, like, I have a lot of people that ask that. If you put quick changes in a stock car, you're going to have to open up the 9-inch rules for hobby stocks and sport mods.
Why?
To allow full spool gears. Why? Because otherwise, all those full spool gears are obsolete if everybody switches to quick changes.
So yeah,
because then they can't sell their gears to anybody else.
We went through this a little bit when we put We went through this a little bit when we put quick changes in mods. People said, "Well, just let those guys run those in sport mods." The problem is that by the time you lighten the gear, put the lightweight spools, and do all the stuff to the center section of the 9-inch, you drive the price up so much to where it doesn't make as much sense. So why would we pass that bad rule? Is what you'd end up being down to sport mods. Because you're taking bad rules and transferring
the only upside would be so many used gears on the market.
I get it, but if it's too expensive and it doesn't make sense for stock cars, how could we say that? Oh, this makes sense for hobby stocks. You're going to put them in the same situation.
Yeah,
it's just to me, it's where's this stuff stop? It just one move creates another move creates another.
I think
move,
if you put quick changes, everything's the same. I think if you put quick changes in a stock car, you'd have 100 more cars Super Nationals.
People said that about modifieds that we're going to travel more. I think there's a convenience factor there. Obviously, you know this.
Major convenience factor.
But I don't think if you put a quick change.
I don't think
in
people realize how much quick
changes
are.
Races. Yeah, how much are they?
I mean, a nice quick change is the ones I run in my mod are like $3,500.
Right.
I'm if you can find
grand,
them,
$3,800 is what I.
You can get a Winners for I think like $1,800. A Winners is still a nice rear end. But then people don't realize, like, well, my 9-inch is, $1,000 and this and that. Well, but that's the 9-inch with the brackets and everything. When you buy a quick change, that comes bare. So you're still going to have to buy all the brackets and put the brackets on.
Right.
So, and a set of the brackets at Medieval Sales, I think they're like $500 or $600 for a set of the brackets to go everywhere.
It all adds up.
Yeah.
It's racing.
I mean, it's definitely a more initial cost, but, I mean, gears are cheaper, but.
Well, once again, how many gears do you feel you're missing right now for a stock car?
That I miss? I don't know. I got a rack of about 12 of them in the shop, so I'm not missing any.
There you go.
He's a professional
racer. There you
racer.
Go.
Yes. He's a 22-year-old professional.
You don't miss any gears. Like, you mean like the in-between gears? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't. You just, know what you have when you show up places. I mean, it's a 10-point difference. Like, I don't think you're missing any gears. You can get in between gears for 9 inches.
See, we need to do a show now. We need to do it from Dylan's shop.
Yeah,
that's right.
Come look at his race car. Show us what he's got.
Look at the dinosaur.
You don't have to tell us all the secrets. And you can hide the hot lap under the counter. But
come look at the dinosaur.
But we definitely should come to your shop and show people. This is what my stock car looks like. This is what I've got for a chassis. This is what I've got for a seat. All the interesting things that I think racers really do. Want to know about other people.
I think the funniest part about our stock car, like, it's Sean owns a stock car. And last year, obviously, we were very fast. The parts on that stock car are so old. I mean, they're rusty. The spring cups, like on the springs, are literally rusty. The jack bolts are rusty. Like, that car has the furthest thing from fancy parts you could possibly think of. It has the $10 AFCO weight jack spring cups and bolts that don't even, I mean, there's no sort of bearing in them. I mean,
and it wins races.
Yeah.
It wins.
It has the cheapest
parts
you can buy. People don't really, I mean, like any breathers and stuff like that is just a line going somewhere with a breather stuffed in it, not like some fancy contraption you can get. I mean, there's a car sitting in the shop right now that has all the nicest stuff you could possibly buy. And it was probably a $60,000 car when it was bought new. And the customer of mine wants me to sell it for him. And I'm trying to explain to him, like, hey, you're not going to get $30,000 for it because it is a $30,000 race car.
It didn't win
the
Super Nationals.
It's a $30,000 race car, but it has super nice parts on it, but it's not worth that. Like, people, you don't need that stuff,
Correct. That's the main thing. I think you pointed out right there.
You don't need digital gauges. You don't need digital gauges. We have the cheapest gauges you could possibly buy.
Just because you can spend $76,000 on a brand new IMC stock car ready to race,
that doesn't mean
that that's what you have to have.
Nope.
And that's, to me, we struggle with that a little bit. I think other racers struggle with that a little bit because we have people all the time say, hey, this has cost so much because of this, and what are you guys going to do to get this cost down and that cost down? And I think at the end of the day, the racers do that stuff on their own. Yeah. If a guy can't afford a fancy spring bucket or a bolt-on, clamp-on bracket.
Well, it sounds simple, but it's all those things that add up.
It is.
Correct.
And at the end of the day, what really matters, you know, and that's why I think it would be interesting to go to your shop and look at your race car and let people see with their own eyes what you think matters within reason. I mean, you're not going to tell everybody. I know what racers are like. You're not going to tell us all your speed secrets. They're like barbecue guys. Let's go to Salty's and have him give us his recipe.
He ain't going to give you his recipe.
Right. He's like a racer.
It's just things that matter. I mean, you can go out. You can spend $900 on a bell housing, or you can go on the you can go on Performance Bodies, Speedway Motors, and I prefer you go to Performance Bodies. And you can buy a $200-$300 bell housing. I mean, it's simple. Yep. You don't have to go out and buy a, you know, $200 set of shifters. You can buy the $100 set of shifters or $75 shifters. I just bought them last week when we were building that car. It's simple. You don't have to
what
have
matters
all this fancy
and what
stuff.
Don't.
You can get a fancy rear end fill tank to dump your gear oil in. I mean, we just have a line into a pipe fitting. We have welded on something that bolts to the frame with a pipe cap. It does the same thing. It doesn't make you any faster.
Correct.
People don't look at that stuff very often. And then when you save money like that, you can put money where it matters. You know, you can have nice shocks. You can have new tires often.
You can go to Boulder's.
Yeah, you go to Boulder's Tap House.
Yeah. And look for the Cougars.
Correct. Nate, how long have we been talking? All right. We probably should wrap it up.
Probably should.
Hey, it's been good having you on our show.
Yeah, it's very good. It's kind of cool. Thank you very much.
Yep. Maybe I'll watch it. I never watch them.
I'm serious about coming to your shop. We should bring Nate and...
Give me a warning.
We'll call
dude
it.
Yeah. We'll call we could have like a dude, where's your car? Dude, here's my car.
Dude, where's your car?
You have to give me a warning so I can hide some stuff.
Like I said, we'll just
put maybe we'll clear off the craps table. We can play craps.
Yeah.
I hate craps. Got a roulette wheel?
Nope. We got craps table,
though. Craps table, though. I played on the craps table.
It's like a real one, full size.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty legit.
We have a hot tub, but I unplugged it just recently because we're not going to use it in the summertime.
And the hot tub's in the shop.
Nice.
That's by the TV.
See if you save on your.
So we'll go in the winter 50. Then, because I'm going.
You've got rusty parts on your. You've got rusty parts on your race car, but you've got a hot tub and a craps table in the shop.
Like he said, you can spend money on the important things.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah, my back isn't going to hurt. My back's not going to hurt.
Good times. All right, let's wrap it up, Jerry. I don't think we have anything else.
Yeah, just some racing coming up.
Some Eagles still on for the weekend.
Yep.
Yep. Central California Clash on IMC TV. Anyhow.
But we better double check that.
I better
because I think I just got a text message from Mr. Lockwood.
So, weather's still an issue. At least it is around here.
Yeah.
But everybody slowly. I think when everybody gets okay, we're all ready to race, and all of a sudden the weather goes. You know, you go back about 3 weeks ago, and it was beautiful out, and then we started racing, and it got cold.
You go back to Saturday, and it was 82, then it was 81, and 79, and then now it's rain and 46.
Crazy. April in Iowa. Yeah. Or April everywhere.
April showers bring May flowers.
All right, wrap it up.
Yep. Perfect. Hey, thanks for tuning in, hanging out with Dilly Dilly. We're going to a shop. I want people to see the dinosaur. Thanks for wearing the dinosaur hat, by the way. Hey, there's a lot of IMCA racing coming up this weekend. Can't 72 make it out.
Tracks are racing this 72? Weekend. 72 events.
Whoa.
Wow.
71 Marshalltown.
Yeah, yeah. There's only 71 that we know of right now because it's a little wet over there. But, yeah, hang out with us at your local racetrack. If you can't, make sure there's a lot of great IMCA racing on IMCA TV. And maybe you want to go back and watch the things that happened in the past. Check out that IMCA TV replay pass. So, all of us to all of you, see you next go-round.